Welcome to Inside Ag from the Kansas Farm Bureau. I'm Noah Ochsner, your host for today's episode. If you're a Kansas farmer and want an in-depth view of issues that impact you, your operation, and the agriculture industry, or maybe you're just interested in issues affecting the industry, this podcast is for you. We'll be bringing you episodes every 2 weeks covering topics in Kansas and around the industry. Kansas Farm Bureau has had a historical decade, celebrating 100 years as an organization and much more. This week, I sat down with KFB President Rich Feltz and our CEO, Terry Holdren, to discuss what the organization is looking forward to in the new year. Today, I'm here with Terry Holdren and Rich Feltz, the president and the CEO of Kansas Farm Bureau. And today, we're talking about a little bit about what's going on in the legislature and what Kansas Farm Bureau's priorities are here. If you guys want to talk about a little bit, what's Kansas Farm Bureau's priorities coming into the legislature, and what are we looking for this year in this year's session?
Well, I'll start out with this. We just come off of a session where we had two main priorities, and that was that we needed to address health care and coming up with a product that we could provide to our membership. We have pretty well got that issue resolved and offering those products. But the other area that we have concern with and need to address, and that's broadband and having broadband across the state. There's other issues, but I'll let Terry kind of address some of those and we can come back.
Thanks, Rich. I think you're right. We certainly had a heavy lift last year on the healthcare initiative as we've sort of built out our offerings, which include telemedicine or teledoc components. We've even realized even more so that the need for broadband is critical going forward, and that there will be a push in the legislature to figure out how to better map, better fund that kind of offering in Kansas and make sure that our folks who live in rural America, rural Kansas, have the opportunity that's similar or equal to what's available in more urban parts of Kansas. Other initiatives we're watching, we certainly keep our eye on taxes to ensure that property taxes are transparent and that, the tax code in Kansas provides us with the best possible position for producers, for landowners, for agriculture as an industry. Don't have any specific bills at this point in time that we're involved with, but we think that, there's always a tax debate at some point in the legislature. We're also watching the debate and participating in the debate on the labeling of products. There will be bills, or there are bills, to require the labeling of non-meat or analog meat, I think is the term that they're using in Kansas. There will also be a debate about the labeling of raw milk products. There was a court case that dictates the milk labeling issue. On the analog meat issue, it's one that we support. It's an issue that's important to our members, and I think our position there typically has been that real meat, lean meat, ground beef, or other products, steak, whatever it is by far the nutritionally superior product that consumers should pick and ought to pick. It's also the most cost-effective product if you really come down to a dollars and cents perspective, and that folks who are at the grocery store ought to have accurate labeling to help them understand and clearly see what they're buying and know what's in those packages on the shelves. So that's kind of where we're at there. We also think there'll be a larger debate about rural health care that's kind of teed off by the Medicaid expansion debate. That is not an issue that we're taking a position in this year, but we know that rural Kansans have access needs. There are hospital situations across the state where budgets are tight, and the funding and maintenance of those facilities is an issue for property tax owners. And so we're watching how that plays out in Topeka as well.
Yeah, so we talk a lot about rural broadband here at Kansas Farm Bureau and across the state, and what rural broadband internet means for not only the state of Kansas but rural development as a whole, and also healthcare. Could you touch on kind of like what Kansas Farm Bureau's priorities are in making sure that internet access is relevant for Kansas farmers and that it's relevant for rural economies in general here in the state of Kansas?
Well, I'll start with that. We've had some significant issues, and Kansas Farm Bureau took an aggressive lead in when they had a challenge from the Federal Communications, and our state was able to. And in fact, we were the first non-governmental agency that was participating in this challenge, and that was to go out and identify areas that were deficient in broadband. The results are kind of alarming as to what we found. But that's one of the initiatives that's been undertaken now at the federal agents or federal level as well. But in Kansas, we have approximately 30% of our rural areas that are under no service or inadequately served with broadband. But it goes much farther than just production agriculture with the technology that we've got and the need for broadband. But we also see the other needs that we have in our rural communities, the hospitals, the educational systems, those type of entities that a lot of them are dealing with inadequate broadband service.
And when you kind of build that out in terms of an application of that technology piece of things, you know, we have folks engaged in farming and ranching today who are using more and more technology. The precision agricultural advancements that have occurred are significant. Those require large upload and download speeds to get the data to the tractor, to the planter, to be able to apply, even to the sprinkler, right, when you come to irrigation, to apply water inputs, other things to crops in a timely manner and in a way that best maximizes the use of those inputs or the use of those natural resources. From a rural economic development perspective, you know, it if agriculture is successful and productive and profitable, rural communities will continue to be so as well. The other benefit of building out broadband access in Kansas is that folks who have technology-based jobs lots of times can do those from anywhere. So if they're from a rural community in Kansas and want to return there, broadband access allows that to happen. And they can do work from their hometown or if they're married to a farmer or rancher, you know, there's an opportunity there as well for tech careers and for just jobs that use the internet kind of a thing. Without broadband expansion, we don't get that opportunity in the state.
Kansas Farm Bureau got its health care plans passed last legislative session here in the state of Kansas. And could you talk a little bit about the rollout and kind of how that's going for us here inside the organization?
You know, we couldn't have gotten that task accomplished without the all-in support of the KFB board led by Rich, of our membership across the state who responded overwhelmingly to the action alerts and the request to call, email, even drive to Topeka and see their legislator. So the first thing we always want to say there is thank you to the folks who engaged and helped us make the case that the need was great, that our members who typically, largely, buy their own insurance in individual and family contracts, didn't have affordable options. And so we got that authority from the legislature a year ago, just about, and spent the time since then setting up the structure, doing plan design, and ensuring that we were offering a product that met the needs of our members. So what KFB Health Plans is today is an offering where we have products that meet pretty much any stage or age of life that you might find yourself in as a Kansan. We started with the traditional membership plans, which are largely individual or family contracts. We wanted to mirror affordable deductibles and affordable maximum out-of-pockets on a yearly expenditure levels, but also coverages that are similar to what you might find in the marketplace, in a marketplace plan today, and to do that affordably. So the legislation that was passed gives us the authority to say no to folks or to use exclusions or other mechanisms inside of a plan to deal with a pre-existing condition. So we can rate and underwrite folks and have a better understanding of their individual health. That allows us to offer a rate that is compatible at that level of folks. And typically, a lot of times, in most cases, what we've seen is savings in the 50 to 60% range underneath what the cost of a marketplace plan would be today. That's great news. Lots of instances where folks have told us they're saving $1,000 a month, which is real money in a farm family's budget or in a rural community if you're going to sustain that local economy. So we think and are hopeful that rollout has been smooth and good. All of those contracts became effective January 1st. So we've now got folks out there seeing their doctor and going to the hospital and doing all the things they're hopefully not doing every day because we don't want to see folks sick or hurt. But we know we're covering those instances. We're paying claims. The beauty of those contracts and their legally binding contract is that we won't kick folks off. If you get sick, we're going to take care of you. If you need to go to the doctor, we're going to pay for that, for covered expenses. And that's how we built the plan, because it's our obligation to make sure that our members have that opportunity. So in addition to those traditional membership plans, we have a dental vision bundle. We have a short-term plan, and we also offer Medicare supplement plans as well. So a really broad offering. The network is a nationwide network. So if you live in a border county and you see the doctor in Grand Island, Nebraska, or Amarillo, Texas, you can do that if they're a network. And there, you know, we encourage folks to make sure that that's the case. But we have that ability in the plan. So it really has been a good, smooth offering, and we're just grateful for the opportunity that the legislature gave us to do that for our members.
All right. Well, as always, great things happening here at Kansas Farm Bureau. We're about out of time. Thank you both for your time today, and we'll see you again next time. Thank you for joining us for Inside Ag, and you can always find more news and information from Kansas Farm Bureau at kfb.org/news. For Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture, I'm Noah Ochsner. Inside Ag is made possible by the members of Kansas Farm Bureau across the 105 counties of Kansas. To find out how you can become a member, visit kfb.org/join.